freedom through forgiveness today. As we continue a discussion from last week, Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center. If you missed the show last week, I hope you'll go back and listen. All of our shows are on in our archives at our website and our podcast, of course, as well. When you go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. As I mentioned last week, by the way, I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. We were reporting on what some of the medical experts tell us about forgiveness or unforgiveness. For instance, John Hopkins Medicine just simply says that studies have found that the act of forgiveness can reap for you huge rewards for your health, lowering the risk of heart attack, improving cholesterol levels and sleep, and reducing pain and blood pressure and anxiety and all of that. It says that forgiveness means different things to different people in the process, but it always involves, this is from Mayo Clinic, it always involves an intentional decision to let go of resentment and anger. It's an intentional decision. It doesn't happen because I wish it would or I think it would, and it may become a daily thing for you as well. It may take some time. I've heard stories of people say it was like instant. And for others, it said, hey, it took some time to work through it, to change my thinking and all of that. All right. We're talking about forgiveness. It reminds me of that verse I shared last week, Proverbs 17:9, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates the closest of friends. And boy, is that true. All right, let me go to Vern, who's in Michigan. Hi, Vern. How you doing today?
Oh, doing pretty good.
Good. What have you learned about forgiveness?
Well, when you forgive somebody, you have to forgive yourself, too.
Hmm.
And when you do, you feel much better.
Yeah. And that's been your experience?
Right. And my wife and I have been married for 61 years.
Wow.
And we have always managed to forgive each other before we go to bed.
Mm. 61 never years? Even after 61 years, you still have moments where you need to forgive each other, huh?
Yeah, because sometimes I get, well, my wife has got dementia.
Mm.
And sometimes she gets unbearable and I get a little bit mad.
Oh.
And I have to forgive myself for getting mad at her.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Let me just speak to you for a moment, Vern. You're very normal. We've been through that in our own family. My wife's mother had Alzheimer's. And her dad, they're both in heaven now, but her dad struggled with that because, you know, he was a fixer. He's like me. He just do this and do that and you can fix things. And guys, we sometimes jump in and we want to do it. And my mother-in-law, his wife, my wife's mother, couldn't respond. She had Alzheimer's and he'd get frustrated. I know he had to go through the process of forgiving himself as a strong Christian, you know, we're all in this battle together, Vern. So it's a great reminder. Even after 61 years, God bless you. You know what? Thank you for your faithfulness. You just demonstrated what it means in sickness and health. God bless you for doing that. All right. I'm going to Stephen next, I think, right? Stephen is in Iowa. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Randy. I'm doing fine. Yourself?
Good. Good. Appreciate your call. Tell us, what have you learned about forgiveness?
Okay, so this comes from, the backstory is 28 and a half years into marriage, and I'm separated, and 2 years later, I'm divorced.
Mm-hmm.
None of it. No control on my part. And so I'm taking a divorce care class, and the day is on forgiveness, and I'm thinking, I believe I have, but I don't know. And the video was on forgiveness, and the person said, okay, when you think about the person, that whether you've forgiven them or not, bring that person to mind. I'm like, all right, got it. It's like, what's the first thing to come through your head? Is it anger or is it hurt? And I almost start crying because I'm like, I'm still hurt because I don't understand any of this stuff. And come to find out, I had forgiven her, because if you think of anger first, you haven't. And if you think of hurt, then you have. And then he says, well, if you work, the further out it gets, then the hurt dissipates too. And I agree with that. But up until then, I didn't realize there was a benchmark for emotions like that.
Yeah. Well, my guess,
that was really powerful.
And if I hear you, you sound like the kind of a man that you're a logical thinker, working things through kind of a person, I bet.
Yes, I'm the logical side, and not that every T has to be crossed and every I has to be dotted, because the world is not perfect.
Yeah,
but that was the role she had in her work, and the anxiety consumed her to the point of, I'm going to make this perfect or else.
Hmm.
So there is collateral damage when that happens.
Well, that's for sure. But you what I hear you say, Stephen, is you learned there's a difference between hurt and anger.
Yes, there
hurt
is.
And anger, there really is. There's a big difference. Because hurt doesn't always go away real quickly, but we can deal with the anger by the choices we make. And so how are you doing now?
I'm doing way better. That was, the divorce was, when I can't figure out how long it's been, that's always a good sign. It's been 6 years, 6.5 years. And, I've got some, my church tribe and my bicycling tribe were kind of separate, and now they've overlapped to the point that I ride with some other Christians.
Good.
And it's, to describe it, in that relationship, there was a bit of a bushel over the lamp, and now it's in the middle of the room shining bright. And
amen to that. That makes a difference, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it does. To be able to share, and you know, I go to recovery group, and it's like, I think my role sometimes is to pick up stuff, but most of the time I'm like, okay, here's what you can look like if you can make the choices to get past this stuff. And my mom made the remark, she goes, when I first got separated, she says, you've got a choice. You can, and it's two words separated by one vowel. You can be bitter or you can be better. It's all up to you.
Very true. All right. Thank you, Stephen. I'm sure you wear your helmet. Everybody, just a reminder, if you're riding bikes, put your helmet on, right? Okay. Thank you. We're talking about the power of forgiveness. Let's take a break. We'll be back. You can share your story in our storyline, 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We've all had those situations in life where we can either run to God or away from Him. In these defining moments, asking the right questions and prayerfully making decisions can change our lives and the lives of people around us. In Dr. Randy's message, Defining Moments, you'll hear how Nehemiah and Jonah responded to God in dramatically different ways. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Appreciate it when you do that. We depend on your support. We don't have commercials. We're just here doing what God's called us to do here at the Intentional Living Center. And as my wife and I often talk about the world we're living in today, you turn on the news, it's bizarre what's going on in the world today. And now more than ever, we either have to learn to intentionally be a follower of Christ, or somebody else is going to be more intentional in the life of our kids. And in the process, they're going to draw them away. Whoever's most intentional wins in the life of our kids. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support as we're reaching out helping strengthen homes and families and marriages, helping people draw closer to Christ to figure out what pleases Him and do it, or our 7-word mission statement to helping people experience life as God intended. If you want to share your story or come and join in support during West Coast business hours, call 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com. All right. Laura is in Michigan. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
Hi, appreciate your call. It looks like you have a question. What's your question today?
Well, I need scripture on forgiveness because that's exactly where I'm at in my life. I'm really struggling with the realization. This was the first part that was very difficult. I came to the realization through prayer and surrendering. I realized I was angry with God, and I was also angry with myself. And I could not seem to let go of it. And it comes out like, for instance, it comes out when I'm driving by myself in the form of road rage. And I have words come out of my mouth that sound like I'm a sailor, and it's terrible. I hate to even admit it, but it does happen, and I feel like I'm being attacked by the evil one for sure when those incidences happen. Because he doesn't like me studying the Bible, and he doesn't like the fact that I got away from drug addiction. I just celebrated 20 years clean off of heroin and crack cocaine. And I work with young adults that are trying to surrender and have a life that's based with having God as your Lord and Savior. And that's extremely important for these young people to understand they don't have to go down that road. The Lord will take care of everything. You just have to surrender. And so with the realization of what I'm dealing with right now, I just really could use some prayer and some guidance maybe with some scripture to continue in my quest to let go of this because I know it's a sin and it hurts me. And it hurts other people in as much as what my mental thoughts are and things. So, and there's also a lot of anger towards my immediate family members. And there was an incident that took place 23 years ago. It involved my children, and they were taken from me, but I was in the process of becoming in recovery, and it got messed up. The whole situation got really messed up, and I was not allowed to be involved in my children's life until they turned 18. It's caused a lot of negative repercussions, but I also take responsibility for my part in it. Absolutely. I have to.
The encouragement to you, Laura. One is you've already done a big, huge battle, battling your addictions, getting back in your life, and now you're in a place where you can deal with these things. I mean, they're there, and you've got a lot of history, okay? And so let's get really practical. One thing is I would encourage you to find a godly group. There's groups that support people going through recovery and anger and so on, or counseling, and someone that can walk alongside of you. But I'll tell you what I was thinking about as you were sharing. I was thinking about a parable that Jesus shared after getting a question from Peter. And the Apostle Peter came to Jesus, I want to just read this, and I'm going to make an application, and I'm going to pray with you. Peter came to Christ, and he said, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sinned against me? 7 times? Because that was sort of a tradition. You know, you could do 7 times, and then you could pay back. And Jesus turned everything upside down. He said, no, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. And do the math. And even then, I don't think Christ was saying, let's go to 490. That wasn't the point. And then it goes on to say, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with his servants who had borrowed money from him. And in the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars in U.S. dollar valuation today. He couldn't pay it, so his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me. I will pay it all. Then the master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. Here's a point. One of the things we have to do in the process of forgiveness is have some empathy for everything going on around us. We live in a fallen, sinful world. People are messed up. Your spouse is messed up. The past is messed up. We just walk through it all day long. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. We face it every day. So the master had pity for this guy that owed him millions of dollars, and he forgave the debt. It's a powerful thing. And I just want to say to everyone who's struggling with this thing on forgiveness, and maybe this is helpful for you, Laura, think about what God has already done in your life, the forgiveness he's brought into your life. And I think when I stop and say, Lord, all the junk you've had to forgive toward me, it makes it a lot easier for me in turn to forgive that other person. That's one of the principles. But what's interesting in this story, but when the man left his king, he went to the fellow servant who owed him just a few $1,000. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. You get the picture? I just got forgiven millions of dollars, so I go out, and Stephen over here, he owes me a few thousand. I grab him by the throat, right? And I'm going to make you pay me back. So the fellow servant did the same thing as this guy had done. He fell down before him and he begged. And he said, I will pay, he pleaded. But his creditor, the guy had just been forgiven $1 million, wouldn't wait. And he had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. Get it now. Jesus is making a principle. He's teaching a parable here. And he says, when some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. And the king called the man in that he had forgiven and said, you are an evil servant. And then he said this, I forgave you the tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he could pay his debt. There's a principle here. He didn't just send him to prison. He sent him to prison to be tortured. And I think Jesus is saying to us, when we choose not to forgive, we're going to be tortured. Now, you're not going to go to prison, most likely, unless you do something really stupid. But you're in a prison inside. You're held captive. And Satan loves to torture us with that kind of thing. And some of you are being tortured. And Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to send you to prison, and you're going to be tortured until you pay the debt. That's what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. This is a big deal we're talking about today. So, Laura, here's what I believe for you and everyone else who's struggling with this. He hears your heart, and God hears Laura. He hears you saying, hey, I want to deal with this. I would encourage you to, and all of us, to linger on that verse in Ephesians where it says, let us learn to forgive one another just as Christ has forgiven us. So when we look at other people, we see them through the eyes of Christ. That's hard to do. It's going to be a process, Laura. You're going to need some help maybe, and that's okay. But you're on the right path. You're already around the second base, okay? Keep going. To see people with a new eye, these are fallen, sinful people. As we learn to forgive others, to also learn to forgive ourselves. Boy, when we do that, that is intentional living.
In Nehemiah chapter 1, in the first 2 or 3 verses, we see this story unfold. The Bible says that Hananiah, one of my brethren, as Nehemiah writes this, came with men from Judah, and the scripture says, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. This verse became a moment in time that would change the life of Nehemiah, his response to the answer he would get to that question. Jonah, on the other hand, we see in Jonah 1:1, the Bible says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. We have two men now that have a defining moment. Nehemiah, in his case, it was a matter of a question. Nehemiah asked the right question to the right people, and the answer that he would hear would become the defining moment in his life.
That's an excerpt from the lesson, by the way, for this month for all of our members. It's about defining moments, and maybe this is yours today. We're talking about forgiveness. We see two guys in the Old Testament, Jonah and Nehemiah. They took two different paths, two different outcomes, two different stories. And I explain the difference and show which one I think made a better decision. Okay? So members, watch for it. It's up for you this month. And if you're not a member, come and join us. We'd love to have you be on the journey. 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours or anytime at theintentionallife.com. Okay, Eric, thank you for your patience in Arizona. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What have you learned about forgiveness?
Well, I've learned that it's hard.
Yeah.
And it's almost a daily practice. A couple years ago, we had an altar call at church one day, and by all accounts, I was a decent fellow, but I had held on to some anger for my entire life. Basically, my father left when I was about 5 years old, and I carried around a lot of bitterness and hate and anger towards him for leaving. And I just remember one day that the pastor had said that, you know, if there was anybody in your life that you could forgive and you could stand to forgive and make an effort to reach out and tell that person that you've forgiven them. And I forget exactly how old I was, probably in my 30s at that point. And I figured that I had been holding on to it for long enough. And I decided to give it to God and to let it go. And I had reached out to the man, and I had no intention of speaking to him. I kind of was hoping there was going to be some anonymity, you know, so I'd send it via text on Facebook, you know, just hoping we wouldn't have to speak.
Yeah.
But he had actually reached out to my message when, you know, after I had said, you know, that I had forgiven him in church today. And we had a chance to speak in person. And I know that what I did that day was more for him than it was for me, because I still grew up without a father, you know, above earthly one anyway. And I grew up without a dad. But for him, I could see the burden that I took off of his shoulders, the guilt that he was carrying around with him for all those years of just not being there and not be stepping up to be father to me, you know. Like, meanwhile, he had a family outside of me. I was his firstborn, and you know, he has a daughter and a family outside of the life that I had. And I always had some resentment, some bitterness, and one of those sure. things that I forgiven was that, you know, that life that I didn't get to have. You know, we grew up very poor. And they seem to grow up in a very, you know, not poor environment. You know, we struggled, scraped and scrimmed for everything that we had. And there was this life that I knew nothing about. And, you know, they would go on family vacations and things of that nature every year. And it's like, man, what happened to me?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of bitterness in that, and I decided to let it go one day. And
how has that made a difference in your life?
Well, I'd never held on to anything. Like, that was literally the oldest thing that I'd had. I'd been carrying it with me since I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
And I was surprised to see how freeing it was to let it go. It was a burden. It was a boulder that I was carrying around with me, and it felt so good to put it down and to just give it to God in that moment. And I can say that, you know, I'm not envious of the life that I had, but I know full well that, you know, God was carrying me from A to B. You know, I'm where I am now. All the things that have happened to me have kind of created the person that I am, and I'm okay with that guy. Like, he's okay. He's not, you know, fully formed yet, but, you know, we're getting through it. Yeah, it's definitely been, you know, good for the soul.
That's a great way to end the show today. Thank you, Eric. I promised Laura earlier I'd pray for her. I'm going to pray for all of you in a moment here as we wrap it up. And in particular, I want to pray for those of you who are lingering right now at this point. Some of you are just turned off and just saying, there's no way I can forgive. Some of you are in denial that forgiveness is something that you're wrestling with. You've stuffed it so deep that you can't even recognize it for what it is. It's showing up in physical and emotional ways, but it's really a sense of loss and anger. Some of you are right at that tipping point. And for you today, my prayer is that all of this will come to a place of healing and health. If that requires getting into some counseling, do it. If you get back into church, do that. Talk to your pastor, do that. But all we've heard today is freedom. I've not heard anybody said, I forgave, and boy, was that a losing experience. Father, I do pray for those listening, those who have buried it, that you'll bring it to their awareness. For those who are at a point of saying, I need to forgive, that you'll give them some direction, help them find the resources and turn to you in the process and realize of all the things you've forgiven us for, that we can turn and to others and say, hey, even if we don't even talk, we can just learn to forgive and move ahead. That needs to be something perhaps that goes on in the lives of some people today where freedom can follow. That's what we pray for those who are listening across the network of radio and across our podcast listeners all around the world today. This is intentional living. You know, Father, you've given us a mission to help people experience life as you intended, and freedom is one of the things you intended. And we can't get there if we're harboring and lingering with hurt and disappointment that turns into bitterness and anger. So we pray for freedom for those who are listening today. Amen. All right. Thank you, Stephen, Jennifer, Gino, team, everybody calling. Appreciate it. Love to hear your story. Hopefully you've made some decisions today for your life going in a healthy direction. Love to hear from you. 888-888-1717. Thanks to our support family. You make it possible for us to exist every day on the radio. And we love you and we thank you. I'm Dr. Randy for my wife, Donna, and our team. Thank you for joining us on Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.